Hello! If you're listening to us, you love movies. And we want to send you to your next movie.
We want you to suggest which movie we should feud next. That's it.
When we feud it, and trust us, we will feud it. We try to get to all our suggestions. The person who suggested it gets 2 free movie tickets on Book My Show.
Just message us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at Muncha Movies and let us know which movie you want us to feud.
It doesn't matter if you're listening in 2001 or 2021. Just reach out to us. And then have fun at the movies on us.
And now, on to the episode.
In a world filled with war, hate, suffering, and Justin Bieber, 2 guys fix it all with a battle about a movie. 1 film, 2 opinions, 1 coin, 2 sides. They feud. You decide. It's time for Film Feud.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Film Feud, the podcast where we debate whether top-rated movies should be top-rated. I'm Vidur.
And I'm Vikram.
What's up, Vikram?
Nothing much, man.
You ready for today's episode?
Kind of.
Well, why don't you first tell the good folk what we're doing here today?
Sure. So we take a movie from the IMDb top 250. We toss a coin. Heads argues for and tails argues
against.
Well done.
Why, thank you. And today's movie is a very special movie. Firstly, a follow-up to last week's movie.
Yes.
It's part 2, but also part 5.
Yes.
And I think if you didn't read the title on the podcast, dear listeners, then you might have guessed by now that the movie is Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back, episode 5, but also the second released one.
Why are you confusing? It's The Empire Strikes Back, guys. We're feuding The Empire Strikes Back. Or as people love to call it, Empire.
Empire or Tespi?
Nope.
Nobody calls it that?
Nuh-uh.
No. Star Wars Tespi?
No, you want to make it a thing?
Okay.
No.
Well, this is considered a good one.
It is, yes. Critically,
not all of them are.
Critically acclaimed.
This one is critically acclaimed.
May I just go out on a limb and say this one maybe is considered the best one?
You may not. We'll wait for the coin toss to see whether I concede to that. We have been dreading this feud for a while, but I'll be very honest. I haven't seen this movie in a long time, so I'm leaving myself the out. To see how I feel about it.
When was the last time you saw it?
I go through the...
Wait. When was the last time you saw it for the 20th time?
I have not seen this movie for the 20th times. I've seen bits and pieces for it for 20 times and more.
Fair.
I can't remember. It's within the past few years, of course. I go on a Star Wars OG...
Yeah.
No, OG. OT. OT. Original Trilogy binge once
in a while. I have a very standard 3-year policy.
Right.
With the original trilogy. So I've seen it in the past 3 years to be safe.
With the release of the new movies, this movie's been getting even a lot more love recently because we're in the second part of the new trilogy, the sequel trilogy right now. So a lot of talk about this movie, and here we are to further that.
Yes.
Right?
To add to that.
Was that diplomatic enough? Should we get to the coin toss?
Yeah, that worked, I guess. Let's do it.
Okay, so I'll be tossing the coin, and heads means I argue for the movie, and tails means I argue against. And let's just say I'm...
just toss the coin, dude.
Okay, here we go. And it's tails.
Dude, how do you keep getting into these positions? I think it's happened often enough.
The coin knows how I really feel. The coin knows I haven't seen this movie in a while.
And then flips against it.
And then it comes in the right way because I'm going to watch this movie. And you know what? I'll be unbiased. Let's see. Maybe I'll concede it straight off the bat.
Dude, just take a second. Okay. Pause, okay?
Okay, pausing.
You're going to be arguing against The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, episode 5/2/ the middle one.
Yeah.
I'll be fine.
The arguably, or in a lot of people's opinions, the greatest movie of all time.
That's what I have to say about that.
Right, of course you do. But if I would have asked you before that, you would have neither disputed nor agreed with that point.
Vikram, this is the pact we signed. This is what we got into. The coin knows.
Best of luck. That's all I can say. I trust the coin.
Listen, all I can say is the force is with me.
The force?
The force is with the coin. The coin is like the force. It just leads you to where you need to go.
Except in your case, it just flips it. It knows what you want. And then it does the opposite thing.
That's not how the force works. No. That's not how the force... It's like, you know how R2-D2 ended up right next to Luke? And the coin has ended up for.
Just why are you even trying right now?
I don't know. Should we go watch the movie?
Yeah, let's go. Let's do it. I can't wait.
Let's go watch the movie.
Tedor,
Are you doing Darth
Vader? Hey, Vidur.
You just sound like Vidur. Vikram from Soul Throat.
Hey, Vidur.
Yes, Vikram Vader.
I am your father. Now give me a beer.
What?
Otherwise, I'll force spank you.
What?
Vidur.
What the hell is going on?
I am your father.
Vikram.
Such a good movie, dude.
Vikram.
It's such a good movie.
Vikram, that was awful, firstly.
Well, I'm going to force spank you because you're my kid, no? Doesn't work?
I'm still digesting how awful that was.
Imagine Vader actually force spanking his kids.
I've seen plenty of cartoons that have all possible permutation and combination of Vader, Luke, father jokes. But I think the best one is in this movie itself. I'm jumping way ahead to literally the final scene of the movie.
Okay.
Everybody's seen Empire, right? We don't need to go in order. But the final scene of the movie, Luke finds out, I'm your father, all that. He escapes. His arm is gone. And then Vader talks to him telepathically.
When he's on the Falcon. Yeah.
And he's just like, Luke. And Luke, till that point, he's just been like, no. And then he's like, I hate you. And then all that.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Luke. And immediately, Luke looks up. He's like, father? The first time Luke is referring to Vader. Father?
It's the first time he's said it in his life, man. Like, he's kind of bittersweet about
it. Bro, that was quick, man. Like, he's immediately gone from no. And he's like, Ben. He's like in a fever dream, right?
Yeah.
After his hand being cut off. He's like, Ben, why didn't you tell me? And then I wish Obi-Wan's voice had just come. He's like, because George wrote it afterwards, Luke. Use the force. You enjoy kissing your sister till then, buddy.
No,
George came up with it afterwards.
Yeah, but then they always knew that they're going to do a father reveal, even in The New Hope.
Then why? No, they didn't.
Of course they did. That's why Ben Kenobi talks about it. He says, yeah, your father was a great pilot and this and that. And like, he made it murky.
No, Lucas came up with it during writing the drafts of Empire.
That Vader was a father. I agree. But the whole father reveal for Luke Skywalker's. Yeah, yeah. So it's not like it was...
He pulled a J.J. Abrams, basically.
What?
I know it's like the opposite thing to say. But J.J. Abrams started what he calls in his TED Talk mystery boxes. And then it's like, oh, it's like I'm writing Lost. We'll figure it out afterwards. And then it sucks afterwards.
I guess I can't imagine where he got the idea from.
Now, I have to say, we don't want to jump ahead because I have enough to say about the first act here. So I have a suggestion. Why don't we go act by act? I think the first act is like Hoth, right?
See, that makes complete sense. But before we jump into the acts, I just want to make one thing clear.
That The Last Jedi did it better?
No. Please, dude, I'm going to barf on your face.
The Last Jedi did it better. That's probably what you had to say, right?
No. I know your argument's going to going to be based on a lot of nitty-gritties, which is fine. Because for a movie this great, that's all you have going for you. So, go ahead.
You know what?
I'm not going to whine about the nitty-gritties this feud.
You know what? I will make it a sans nitty-gritty feud.
I can't wait.
Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
The opening, Battle of Hoth.
Yes.
Hoth.
Yes.
Like 30 minutes, maybe 45 it lasts.
Like, this movie had the balls to put its biggest action sequence in the first act. That's amazing.
This movie had the balls to open with filler content. For
what?
45 minutes.
How is that filler content? What are you saying?
Pure filler. Okay.
80-80, the whole I'm going to wrap my thing around your... Like, that's amazing.
It has no outcome on the story whatsoever. Obviously, it's the first act.
That's the whole reason why the base is shifted. What do you mean it has no impact on the story?
No, the opening is already they found the base and then they're going to just like move. Oh, they haven't found the base. Probe droids. But like everything in this movie, apart from the third act, is filler, which makes sense because this movie is filler because of the second movie. It doesn't matter as much. It's just like, it's like the opening scene of The Last Jedi. Sorry to bring it up again. It did do it better. Well, it like most parts of it better.
Okay, that's your opinion. You can keep that to yourself.
This whole feud is my opinion.
You just said, except for Act 3, everything is filler in this movie.
Definitely.
So Luke's training, Yoda's appearance, it's all filler.
You're right. Luke's training is the only part that's not filler in Act 2. And we'll get to that. Let's talk about the first act.
Sure.
In The Last Jedi, at least they linked the opening battle sequence to like pose subordination and it had some sort of impact on the rest of the story. Here it doesn't at all. Like, they literally could have opened it with a scroll and just around 20 minutes into it is when Vader appears with the Imperial Death March. And you know what? I'll grant you the Imperial Death March right off the bat. Amazing piece of Star Wars music.
Agreed.
Invented for this movie.
Agreed. And also just to add to that, like the Super Star Destroyer and just the whole focus on the dark side
It should have just opened on that. Everything else before this could have been in the scroll. It didn't matter.
What are you saying, dude?
Hence, Last Jedi did it better.
No, hence not proven, okay? So this the whole first act, the probes, the Luke scene with the tauntauns and
him
finding the lightsaber, the fight, the battle sequence between the troops. That first shot, when they say that the Imperial fleet's marching towards the base and they show a guy using his fancy binoculars at the AT-AT, that shot is like, it's legend. What are you talking about?
Vikram, don't be a noob. It's 80-80s and not AT-ATs, firstly.
I've taken a liking towards calling them AT-ATs recently.
Now,
I don't know why.
Spoke about Luke in the first act.
Yeah.
Luke, the great pilot / Jedi in training from Star Wars A New Hope,
yes,
is taken out by the abominable snowman.
Yeah.
On a random planet.
Yeah.
For shame, sir.
Why? What do you mean for
shame? For
shame. His force skills are so raw right now. He can't sense it. So what?
He's bested by like a bear meets a yeti.
I disagree. He's not bested. He bests the bear yeti.
And he bests the bear yeti by cutting off the arm of another sentient animal? That's so non-Jedi. And
he hasn't learned the Jedi way.
He leaves the bear yeti beating to death.
Yeah, he's scared. No, the bear yeti runs away and so does Luke for some reason.
And then, and also the arm cut off is bloody. Like, remember lightsabers, like they cut off cleanly as happens at the end of the movie. Super bloody. And it's just like, because George Lucas was obsessed with arm cutting, I guess. That's why the scene is in it. And then, dude, he's bested after that by the Colt.
Yeah.
He goes out, he's bested by the Colt.
Yeah. Wait, you're trying to prove a point by saying Luke is a proper Jedi by now, which
he's
he isn't.
Not a proper Jedi.
This is the movie that makes him a proper Jedi. Before this,
dumb.
He's been trained by Obi-Wan on a ship. On a ship ride, basically. That's his training.
With a helmet and a ball.
That's his training. So obviously, he's nowhere near being a Jedi.
But he's bested by the Colt. Like, this is your hero and you're watching this. You can't restart over that this guy is a wimp by starting that. First, he was just a wimp on Tatooine. Now, he's a wimp with a lightsaber on Hoth.
What?
You remember that old Yoda quote, right? By the way, fear leads to anger. Can you do a Yoda voice?
Oh, no, not... Oh,
I'll try.
Okay.
Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to yetis. Yetis leads to arm cutting. Arm cutting leads to cold. And cold leads to suffering.
I'm just so glad we have this on a recording for like years to come, because I'm going to keep going back to that just for the sake of it. You know, talking about the cold, it's so messed up during production. Like especially this ice planet scene, the whole Tauntaun beast yeti, whatever you're calling him, was shot in Norway.
Tauntaun are the camels Han Solo rides on.
No, Tauntaun and the beast yeti that you were
beast yeti.
All of that was shot in Norway, and unfortunately that was like the worst snowstorm in Norway's history happening at that time.
Yeah.
Because of which the crew couldn't even get out of the hotel. So the scene where they show Luke coming out of the cave, it's actually the shot is actually their hotel exit door covered in snow, and just Mark Hamill just peering out of it. That's the shot. That's how cold it was. That's crazy.
Commendable, I guess, that they actually shot it on some location. Although the little ice structure they've built looks a lot like a Plaster of Paris set, but I promise you no nitpicks, so I'll try to stay away from it.
Yeah.
So Luke, lame. Okay, then he does a decent job against the AT-ATs, I guess, with the tow cable.
But
the scene is just like iconic at this point.
Yeah.
Spider-Man in the MCU like refers to it. And
like good for good reason.
I think that's like the memorable part of it, like the strategy.
Everything, of course, that the strategy, and then because it's shown that the AT-ATs are so powerful, they're literally destroying the entire base. The fighters aren't having any effect on them. So
see, they only call them the Imperial Walkers, which I think is a better name. But they really are the dumbest weapon that the
I don't get that.
That the Empire has.
Yeah, I don't get that. A lot of hate, like over the years, obviously, but I don't get it.
What do you mean?
What's wrong with it? Because they showed a flaw. All right, now I know why they're so weak.
Okay, and they move weird, like the way they move.
They move slowly, yeah.
Because it's like, I guess, no CGI at the time, so. They move awful. And then, okay, in The Last Jedi, when they finally use the AT-ATs on, what's that salt planet called? Whatever. Nobody cares about The Last Jedi. But they show...
Thank you.
Yeah. But they show, and all the more reason, Empire Strikes Back inferior.
You can just say it and like make a math equation like valid for life.
Last Jedi, when the AT-ATs are trying to get through the door, the First Order had TIE fighters with the AT-ATs, right? So... That makes sense. You have TIE fighters as backup and you have AT-ATs. Here, the Imperial Walkers are going against the base, but the base has airplanes.
Right.
The AT-ATs are basically tanks, right? It's like tanks versus airplanes.
So,
do you know who wins in tanks versus airplanes, Vikram?
Who?
Well, haven't you seen Border? Always airplanes.
Those are pussy tanks, dude. AT-AT is like 10x, 20x of those.
Bigger tank.
Yeah, agreed. And also, fine, they modified strategy based on their learnings from that fight and applied it to Last Jedi. Here you go. I mean, come on, dude. Like, why aren't there TIE fighters down there? Just because. They thought that was going to be enough. It's a puny rebel base.
No, they just wanted a set piece with a new toy and they made it happen, but it doesn't make any sense.
It was a puny rebel base. Like, it's fine to understand or to think, assume that the dark side thought that, fine, they'll be fine.
But you know what? Let's wrap up the first act focusing on the characters. We spoke about Luke.
Yes.
Let's talk about Han and Leia in the first act.
Okay.
Their budding romance, right?
Yeah.
Now, let me put a stop to that as soon as we say budding romance, because you realize that Empire set how many years after New Hope? Like, at least a couple?
Yeah.
That means Han and Leia have been flirting like this for like 2 to 3 years. This is so lame, dude. This is the problem that the current X-Men movies have. Current as in now past X-Men movies, like Days of Future, Apocalypse, and one, Dark Phoenix. Hmm. Because they were committed to jumping
Apocalypse
a decade.
Apocalypse was the shit.
No, Dark Phoenix, the latest one, also shit.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
But they good call. But they committed to skipping decades. So, First Class is in 60s, Days of Future in 70s, Apocalypse in 80s, and this one is in the 90s. So, technically, like, the characters like Magneto and stuff are 50 years old and just 10 years before they turn into Patrick Stewart. And, like, Jean Grey
and
Scott
Summers.
And they
look the
Summers,
same?
Not only do they look the same, but it's, like, as it applies to Han and Leia, Scott Summers and Jean Grey have now been together for, like, 8-9 years. But they still look like kids, hang out with kids, have like a high school romance kind of thing.
That's weak.
Well, so is Han and Leia. What are they? Still flirting from the past 2-3 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
They
great.
Are.
Yeah.
Nitpick over.
Okay, wait. You know, non-nitpick, Vikram, there is no way you can't agree with me here.
Okay.
Han Solo macking on Leia. A little rapey.
A little rapey.
A little rapey. A little Rocky Balboa from the original Rocky movie.
I know the scene you're talking about. Yeah, but clearly, it was fine in 1980.
No, it wasn't. He molests her.
He doesn't molest her. Come on.
Also, were they dating behind the scenes at the time?
I'm not sure if it was this movie or the one after.
Yeah, and not to mention he was having an affair with her, essentially, and she's like 10, 15 years younger to her. And then like he grabs her saying like, let me put you back, Your Highness. And like I saw him grab her by the chest, like by the side of her chest. And it really made me uncomfortable.
Okay.
Especially we know that it's just yuck, bro. And then he Stockholm syndromes her into it, where she actually falls for these stupid antics 3 years after. He's probably been doing this for 3 years.
So is she. Also, by the way, remember a promise you made me a couple of minutes ago about no nitty-gritties?
That's a nitpick?
Yeah, that he grabs her by the side of the chest and all of that. Yeah, it is. It kind of is a nitpick. Fine. I agree. It's a little off-putting for today's time, but we've seen it in enough movies from the 80s.
Dude, Leia should be Me Too-ing in The Force Awakens. She should be looking around at what's happening, and she should have a Me Too moment.
Except not. She's married to the guy. In Force Awakens.
That's ultimate Stockholm Syndrome. It's like Adrian with Rocky. Like, he doesn't let her go. He stops the door with the bicep. And then he just leans in until she's like, well, I guess dude, I have no choice here. He Louis C.K.'s her.
Are we done with Han and Leia?
No, we're not. Because it's also in this act that Leia kisses Luke as a tactic to, like, get Han jealous.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's that, bro? Why is she kissing her brother?
She doesn't know he's a brother.
She doesn't know, but George Lucas knows.
No one in that scene knows that they're brothers and sisters.
But George Lucas knows.
Yeah, he probably did that purposely to make the reveal even more impactful, which kind of worked if you think about it.
No, it doesn't make sense. It feels like the script changed in the middle and then this changed the saga completely. And
just because,
like,
of that one kiss, you're saying that Luke and Leia weren't destined to be brother-sister from the beginning of the story.
Firstly, yes, there's no way you can know brother-sister and make it incest. What is this, old boy over here?
How is it incest? Firstly, it's a kiss.
It's a kiss.
Relax. There's no incest happening. And secondly,
and sisters making out is incest. Just so you know.
They're not making out. It's a kiss. It's like a normal, like, hey, Han, check this out.
No, it's not. It's passionate. It's French. And it's meant to make her future lover jealous.
Dude. Take it easy, man. Take it easy.
It's within the movie retcon. It doesn't make any sense.
It's not. You're forcing it to be a retcon.
No, it is. It's like if Captain America randomly revealed that he was Sharon Carter's father or something.
That was a very weird example that you picked because it doesn't work according. That's very icky. He was literally going out with her.
You know what? That's the right word for it. It's icky.
It is icky. But the point that it makes you feel icky is kind of serving the purpose.
I'll tell you the max icky point. It's like the fucking bravado that Luke has looking at Han.
Yeah.
Being like, yeah, look who got some bitch.
Yeah.
And Han should come back to him from your sister, bitch.
Well, the Mark Hamill bravado part, I mean, I've said this to you a million times on and off this podcast, his acting is not the best.
Aha, the concession begins.
Every Mark Hamill movie we feud, whether I'm for or against, that will be a point
Star
of...
Star Wars, the concession begins. And no. Also, let's not pretend we'll ever feud a Mark Hamill movie apart from Star Wars.
Well, maybe if one of his animated movies comes to the top 250. You know, can we move on to another character who's established or shown in the first act?
Who?
Vader. Vader's first scene, by the way. I love how this movie focuses on the dark side, not just in terms of like set design with like the Star Destroyer, the AT-ATs and stuff, but also in terms of the character of Vader.
Firstly, like, where did Vader come from? He spun out into the galaxy at the end of the first movie.
Yeah.
And now he's just back?
What, you think he's just spinning forever? Because he's the most powerful being in the universe, just sitting and spinning on a spaceship away to glory.
Wasn't there some Star Wars legend story where
There's a canon novel about like the immediate portion of the story preceding that spin. He figures it out, bro. He figures out how to get out of a spinning spaceship.
But he's been back to the street. He has some power upgrades, man, in this movie.
Super crazy power upgrades, dude. I just want to talk about the first shot of him where they show the back of his head, like a wide shot, and he's just looking into space.
Yeah.
And then the music, obviously.
Da, da, da,
chills,
da,
man.
Da, da.
Every time I watch it, it's chills. The Super Star Destroyer. Wow. Every time I watch it,
one of those wows again?
I can't, because it's so genuine, dude. Like, it's coming from the heart. I think it was crazy. And also, like, his power upgrades that we spoke about, he's choking his admiral via FaceTime.
Through the screen, FaceTime choking.
That's amazing. And then the next admiral just looking and shitting his pants. That, like, it actually looks like he's shitting his pants. That's great acting.
Yeah, that was too aggressive, a power upgrade. Like, when he's doing the whole "you have failed me for the last time, admiral," an iconic line now. You know what I imagined? Did you watch Dragon Ball Z as a kid?
Very little.
Do you remember when Goku's going to fight Frieza? For like 50 episodes,
There's
Goku's
a guy,
just...
guy's name is Frieza.
Yeah, Frieza.
Frieza, okay.
For 50 episodes, Goku's just on a spaceship on his way to the planet Namek, where Frieza is.
50 episodes?
Like maybe 15. But all he's doing is working out, and he just keeps increasing the gravity on the ship, okay, to keep working out. So then by the time he lands, this is like iconic in anime, like his power level has exceeded, like literally somebody's trying to see the power level, and the indicator explodes. It's like this, Vader has been doing push-ups in like 5x gravity in between the two movies, and suddenly his power level has just exploded. If he had all these powers in the first place, the previous movie wouldn't have happened. So when I saw the admiral choking scene, I was like, man, Vader's been doing some push-ups, bro.
I mean, firstly, it's 2-3 years, whatever it is, but you're basing this on the admiral choking scene, because they're still on the same ship technically, and they showed him choking a dude in the same room in The New Hope. So it's fine. It's like 50 meters away. I don't want to bother getting up. I'll just choke you from here.
But it's clearly possible, because then Snoke does it in The Last Jedi across like the galaxy, basically. Which is
it's
a problem
Snoke.
I have with
I
all
I don't
these.
Want to talk about Snoke.
Okay, let's not talk about Snoke. But in general, the Star Wars movies take the Force usage just to random extremes. And I've never enjoyed that. So I guess Vader is like a good manifestation of that.
I think they killed it. I think the whole focus on the dark side in this movie is amazing. Can we move on to the next act?
Okay.
What do you have lined up for Master Yoda? I'm sure you have something up your sleeve.
It's the next act, Master Yoda, according to you. Because to me, it's actually a really lame CGI asteroid sequence. And I'm sorry to say,
part of it.
Impressive for the time. I'm sure it was. I can't go back to the time. I'm sure a light bulb was impressive for its time. But it's not anymore. So I can't judge a light bulb if I saw it in the 1800s. And I can't judge a lame, basically like a stop motion looking asteroid sequence. I'm sorry, it's just not cool, Vikram. It's not good.
It's CG for that time. It's dated by its technology.
Yeah, but I'm sorry that like a free software on my phone beats Star Wars now. I can't like find it impressive. See, good storytelling stands the test of time, right? And in that sense, maybe episode 4 had like classic good storytelling. So it stands the test of time. Here, the storytelling is like, again, sequelitis. It's in the middle of the first and third movie. And this is a lame set piece and it doesn't. So it actually really bored me. But we can jump to Yoda. I think just the whole like slow chase, Empire versus the Falcon, I just found it the weakest part of the movie.
Interesting. I thought weakest part of the movie might be true, but I don't think it was that bad. In fact, everything apart from that creature in the asteroid is what didn't look as good, even though today, like...
The creature looked good or bad?
No, creature looked bad. Everything else was great. The chase, him hiding on the asteroid, all of that stuff, I loved it. It was so good.
It was lame. It's like watching like a 90s Indian TV show for its time and being like, well, this is the best they could do on that budget.
90s Indian TV shows could not come close to that.
To 70s, on, 80s Star Wars movies.
No shot.
Maybe, but we can go to like Dagobah. How do they? They all say it differently. But
how do you want to say it?
Dagobah.
Sure.
I guess.
Yeah.
Firstly, again, another use of the Force, just like R2-D2 landed on Tatooine. Luke crashes his ship on a planet, Vikram, next to the dude he's looking for.
Close to the dude.
On a planet.
Yeah. The Force. It's, you can't explain it, but it guides you.
It's for 12-year-olds.
I believe in it. What do you mean it's for 12-year-olds?
You believe in it?
I believe in the Force.
You
have no idea how much time, mostly in my youth, I spent just lying on my bed, putting my hand towards my door, and I was like, close, and it didn't work. I was like, that's not true. But I still like the concept.
This movie is for 12-year-olds, which is evidenced by the fact that Yoda is a puppet.
It's a puppet, yeah. So what? It's Frank Oz. He did all the Cookie Monster guys and the Muppets. So what?
Vikram, you're not understanding. I can tell that he is a puppet. You see the problem?
Yeah.
I'm watching a movie with a Mark Hamill, the star of Star Wars A New Hope, interacting straight face with a puppet.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can tell. It's a puppet. I'm looking at it, I'm seeing like he's looking. It's like watching a Muppet movie.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Yeah, I can't take it seriously after that. Also, his lip dubbing is like completely off. His mouth moves up and down. But you know why? Because he's a fucking puppet.
So wait, your point here means that...
It was just a fuck up.
It wasn't a fuck up. They did that purposely. It didn't age well. In the CGI that you've seen in the world now, you look at that, you're like, oh, that could have been done better.
No, I'm saying it was a mistake to make a character a puppet. They should have found a random, what do they call, little people dude in a costume and made him play a role. They should have found the guy who played the Ewoks. What's his name? Warwick Davis. He should have played Yoda because I can tell he's a puppet. Like having a puppet character for the time must be the same as having a Jar Jar Binks, a digital character.
Right.
And it was a screw up on equal levels. This needs to be
said. Jar Jar Binks, the character was a screw up. Not the way it was portrayed. With Yoda, firstly, there was no way they could have made that as a costume, like an R2-D2 or C-3PO or a Chewbacca as well.
Find a kid.
No, they couldn't have made that as a costume. That was the problem.
Why not?
Why didn't they use a kid in the new movies? They didn't. They still used CG because that's the only way to perfectly show that weird character they made, which is so good, by the way.
Are you saying puppet was the best option?
Yes.
That can't be right. Vikram, search your feelings. You know it to be true.
I'm telling you. The features of Yoda, the physical features of Yoda are not possible for him to be that size
so
and with
James,
those features.
Nobody gave him a mandate.
I think Yoda's portrayal is amazing. I agree the puppet thing doesn't age well because now you look at it, kind of looks comical, but fine. Like
the way he talks combined with the fact that he's a puppet.
You can't hate on the way he talks.
The way he talks.
It's
but
amazing.
Combined with the fact that it's a puppet. Because I like Yoda from the prequels. I know he looks very CG. I know the lighting is off. I know like he doesn't have a grunge pass or whatever. But at least it's like a good, believable character. Here, it's literally like a Muppet. It's like a ventriloquist. It's like, what's his name, dude? Ahmed? The Jeff Bridges? Jeff? What's him? The
Ahmed the terrorist.
Yeah, it's like, oh, hee. That's how he's laughing.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. It's a puppet show I'm watching right now.
I think you're just focusing way too much on him being a puppet and just completely forgetting Yoda as a part of this movie and what he
Yoda
brought to the table.
Yoda as an 800-year-old Jedi Master. Great. Great bait and switch because you think he's like that wizard character from The Princess Bride or something, just like a troll in the village. And then he turns out to be the guy. Sure. But... I mean, okay, great. Then he trains Luke in like a montage that's just about longer than, at least it's longer than A New Hope, I guess.
And also like pretty cool training that way as opposed to just a lightsaber and a shooter just shooting at you.
Yeah, yeah. The training is okay.
Brings a bloody plane out of the water, man.
Yeah, but
no
what
joke.
That was cool. What was it? That is why you fail. I like that line.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Everything Yoda says is pretty much gold.
Profound. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
You
can
just apply it to daily life. Sure. That makes sense.
Quite dumb. It is.
No, sense it makes.
But then I hate the Luke Vader scene in the dark side forest, the hallucination, because they fight with lightsabers.
Right.
And that's like technically... Till that point in the Star Wars universe, that's the best lightsaber duel, because Obi-Wan and Luke and Vader from the first movie suck.
Yeah.
So then, why is it slow motion? Like, why is it?
Because it's the point of showing the lightsaber fight is not the point of the scene. The point of the scene is what Luke is going through and how it's a part of his training. So the effect of it being slow-mo just...
I didn't get it. Like, fear, that's what they're showing, that he's not afraid anymore. And then,
or just like something like out of body, if you think about it. Because he's imagining a character and he's imagining fighting with him. The and it's part of his training, like Yoda says.
Okay, so they show him get over the fear of Vader through that. But why? When was he even afraid of Vader? Like, when did he have that chance to be afraid of... He never faced him. Not really. Obi-Wan did.
Yeah.
So, like, why is he even afraid? Like, they're adding stakes where there are none.
Wait, you're saying why is Luke afraid of Vader?
At that point. Yeah,
why not?
They've never met.
He's seen him. He knows him. Obi-Wan's told him about him. He's, according to him, still a dude from Tatooine. So, obviously, he's going to be afraid of the Dark Lord or whatever it is.
And then Mark Hamill portraying all of that. I know you've already conceded, but he just can't pull it off, man.
I agree. I have nothing to add to Mark Hamill. The guy,
I'm proud of your concessions.
The guy is a good voice artist. Let's give it that. And fine, I actually kind of liked him in The Last Jedi. I liked him the most in The Last Jedi. How about that?
Oh my God. That tells you all you need to know about how you feel about Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
But let's move on to the end of the second act. They reach Cloud City.
Cloud City? They build a city in the cloud, dude.
Okay.
They build a city in the cloud. This guy's imagination's next level.
That's the least impressive thing Star Wars has done.
I think Cloud City was pretty cool. Super Star Destroyer, according to me, was pretty cool. I know you don't like AT-ATs, AT-ATs, but I like them a lot. X-Wings, I won't stop. Let's move on
from the toys to the characters.
Yeah. Cloud City's not a toy. Shut up.
Lando. Firstly, a black guy who's smooth with women. Bit of a stereotype. Bit of a honky stereotype there.
I can't do it with these. Okay. I promise myself I will have to deal with these nitty-gritty.
That's not a nitty-gritty, bro.
A black guy who's smooth with women. That's your point of argument here.
That's a character problem. That is some like...
How?
Subtle like blaxploitation shit.
Most of your points that you're bringing up are these... Are these things that haven't aged well?
Okay,
and that's understandable. It's a movie that was shot in the 1980s. So
good storytelling ages well, though.
The story is perfectly fine. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the story. In fact, the story is what drives this movie home.
Okay, but one nitty-gritty before we move on.
Please. I'm all yours.
Lando calling him Han. I can't.
Yeah. The whole Han thing kind of got out of hand.
Firstly, Luke... Han Solo.
I don't know, Tennessee accent. I don't know where he's from.
It's not, a lot of people call him Han.
Yeah.
Because nobody decided. George Lucas calls him Han in interviews after the first movie. And then...
So wait, the only ones calling him Han are Luke and Leia?
Which is even dumber. And then, and Chewie, we can't tell how he's pronouncing it.
Yeah, we can't tell.
But then in Solo, the shit movie, the standalone movie, they have a scene to justify that Lando calls him Han. Han Solo goes like, it's Han, by the way, but that's okay. And then he moves on. Oh. Which is like, again, it's just
that's
such
much.
A recognition of like, oh, this was dumb in the third or second movie. Anyway, that's okay. I'm done with nitty-gritties.
I believe you, bro. Okay. I believe you.
Okay. Are we done with the second act, in fact? I think that's it. Nothing much.
Yeah, let's move on.
I guess the second act ends with Darth Vader showing up in the dining room.
Yeah.
Which, to me, that just demystifies Darth Vader. We have been waiting for you, or whatever the hell he said.
Would you...
Care to join us?
Yeah. Like, what do you want him to do, rather?
Don't talk like this, dude. Just be badass. Just say little, menacing things.
Yeah, but he is. That's what his whole thing is.
And then he uses his force power like a magnet, like the way Magneto gets guns towards him. He gets a blaster towards him.
Are you questioning how the force runs? Especially in this movie.
Always questioning how the force runs.
This movie is a template of what all you can do with the force.
But while we're talking about Vader in the third act, so nice of him to let everyone say the goodbyes, have goodbye kisses, let Leia tell Han, I love you, let Han say.
He's can just we rewind there. Back like 30 seconds after this, like I'm done with nitty gritty?
That's not a nitty gritty.
This is a nitty gritty. He said, usne character ko bye kaise bolne diya, wo to menacing aadmi hai.
It's unmenacing his character.
It's not.
It's messing up Darth Vader. That's a nitty gritty.
Yeah. It's this point that you've raised against that argument is a nitty-gritty point. He's still menacing as shit. What are you talking about?
And then the whole thing about Boba Fett like standing up to him, talking to him and stuff, that makes Darth Vader less menacing. I never got the love for Boba Fett.
Same. Never.
Oh, another concession. Screw Boba Fett.
What? There's no concession.
I mean, I don't get it. People are like, oh my God, Boba Fett.
People really love the guy. I'm grateful because we're getting a show out of it for some reason, but I don't get the whole Boba Fett obsession, especially because of this movie. Like the whole thing about Boba Fett, arguably the greatest side villain of all. I was like, he was barely there.
He didn't do anything.
Yeah, he didn't do anything.
He actually didn't even capture Han. Like, what is his role? He's a bounty hunter.
Yeah.
But he's actually just a transporter. He doesn't capture Han.
He doesn't.
Does he have anything to do with it?
Nope. He's getting paid by Jabba the Hutt. What a good deal, dude.
Yeah, what a good deal. It's so dumb. But then, you know when it gets really stupid is after Han gets frozen in carbonite, which was because he didn't want to come back? What was the deal there?
They were still, I think, negotiating his contract for the third movie, and it was unsure by the end of this movie, so they just put him in carbonite. They're like, Nia hai to Nia hai, aayega to figure out.
We'll literally,
figure
it you're out. In the middle.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't come, then he'll just end with that pose in the carbonite. Yeah. Great.
Because that's why that last line that he says, I know, when she says, I love you, and he says, I know, that was meant to be, just in case, meant to be a goodbye Han line.
Improv, by the way.
Yeah, improv.
By Han Solo, and by Harrison Ford, sorry.
Yeah.
And then Luke comes to rescue them.
Yep.
Against the suggestion of Yoda, which doesn't make sense. He ends up being right. Wait, does he? No, he gets beaten.
Yeah, he doesn't end up being right because all his friends are good except for Han. Also.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think...
I mean, Yoda, the only reason he doesn't want him to go is because his training is incomplete and he knows that he might get swayed to the dark side. And later on, we found out that it's happened before. So he was scared. So was Obi-Wan. So they're like, complete your training.
Mm.
Don't worry. Like, it's the fear is clouding your judgment in terms of what's going to happen.
Let your friends die.
No, your friends might be fine. What you think is happening to them is because you're being clouded by fear.
Ah, interesting. Deep stuff, Vikram. Deep stuff.
I've thought about it.
You know what's not so deep is Luke tiptoeing around Cloud City with a blaster. With, by the way, the worst music I've ever heard in Star Wars. There's no way for me to even like represent it here, but go back and listen to it. And then Leia says, it's a trap. Do you remember her saying it's a trap?
Yeah.
That was so comical because she's being taken away by stormtroopers.
And she sees him.
She leans out of the door and she's like, Luke, it's a trap.
Yeah.
The stormtroopers yank her away and then she comes back again. It's a trap. It's like, what? Is a 12-year-old directing this? It makes no sense. And the music, dude, it's like, oh, he's tiptoeing. It's like Charlie's Angels, you know? Not the new one, the Farrah Fawcett one.
I have no memories of the Farrah Fawcett Charlie except for like
just imagine,
picture.
Imagine.
Okay, fine. Maybe for like 2 minutes, the music's bad. You can't argue against the score in this movie, though.
I will concede. I already conceded the Imperial Death March.
Everything,
obviously, original Star Wars music is original Star Wars music. But you know what I will concede? And this is the part we're moving on to next, is the third act final duel. Let's talk about it, bro. Let's get into the final duel. I'll start off by conceding not the music, but the sound design. It is ridiculously good.
It is. I agree. It's amazing. The sound throughout, I feel like even what John Williams ended up sort of making a base off and what other movies are extracting from it, it's so good. Like the themes attached to each and every character, the iconic themes, they just, I mean, we don't need to talk about it. It's amazing.
And the production design, also concede.
Yes.
It's ridiculously good.
Crazy.
Not the fake Cloud City sky and all that they have in the rest of the sequence, but the Vader-Luke duel. Every location.
In the air shafts,
the first where they freeze him in the carbonite, even that because of the smoke, very cinematic. Amazing production design.
It's crazy, dude. Like, I've said it before in this feud already, but what this guy or this team ended up coming up with, it literally laid the groundwork for sci-fi adventure action movies to come.
No. You're broadening the scope of my concession.
It just flows into one another.
Let's talk about the ridiculously bad. The whole final duel, very overrated. And Vader swinging is so bad. At one point, he literally does a 360 for no reason. And then they cut away from it. At one point, he falls off like a sumo wrestler. Like they're on a ring. And then Luke just manages to push him. And then he falls backwards. And he almost has like a Wilhelm scream. Like, ah! And then at one point, the way he jumps and flies towards people with his cape.
Yeah.
It looks so bad.
You don't like the jump?
No.
I love the jump.
Like, how does he jump like that? You can tell he's on wires.
Obviously, I mean, like, if 80% of filmmakers did it today, it would look like it would be on wires.
But the stunt coordinator will be like, yo, bro, like, you need to change your stance because you look like you're on wires.
No, I actually really like it. I like the jumping part. I actually like him falling off that sumo wrestler ring part because that's when Luke just comes down. He's like, oh, where'd he go? I love the duel because it's less of a duel. Vader clearly is holding back because he wants to not kill Luke.
Yeah.
And Luke is just raw anger.
Do you think that's the best Star Wars lightsaber duel?
Oh, Star Wars?
Yeah.
No chance.
Well, no, not including Rebels.
Still no. My favorite is Obi-Wan and General Grievous.
Oh, from episode 3?
I actually really like that duel.
Ah, that's not a well-picked one. A lot of, from the original trilogy?
From the original trilogy, well, I think Last Jedi might trump it because...
That's original.
Oh, sorry. I meant Return of the Jedi might trump it because there's more fighting in it.
Yeah.
This one's a little more chasing and Vader messing
and
around
then
with
Vader
him and stuff.
Hitting Luke with objects. And Luke, like the way Luke like bounces around when the, he gets hit
That's
by
all
objects.
Mark Hamill, dude. That's it's, all Mark
he's
Hamill.
He's like a 90s Bollywood hero.
It's
literally
Mark
like, ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Mark Hamill, dude, he can't do better, bro.
Oh my god, it's
cut
so
the guy
bad.
Some slack.
It's so bad. He like messes him up.
Yeah, I think Mark Hamill is just he makes all the duels weak that he's in. But I think that this duel is good because of the situation.
I think the duel is good only because of what happens at the end of it, which is the iconic moment in Star Wars.
Yeah,
say the line.
Luke, I am your father.
Incorrect. It's no, I am your father.
Oh no, I am your father. You're right. You're right. But then Mark Hamill's reaction again.
The expressions. No, it's not true.
You know, the, like an interesting tidbit is when they were shooting the scene, only Mark Hamill knew that Luke Vader's his father, Luke's character, and even the guy.
So Lucas didn't tell like David Prowse, the guy who was playing.
Lucas
him.
Didn't tell anyone. Only Mark Hamill. So David Prowse is actually saying some gibberish like...
I killed your father.
I killed your father
like
or something like that. And he sees Mark Hamill's reaction. And imagine like in the entire crew's like, what the hell happened to this guy? Why is he reacting so fiercely for this?
I felt the same way despite the I am your father reveal.
That's
even
Mark
that,
Hamill. Yeah.
That's not how you should react.
That's Mark Hamill.
His face becomes
and
so
you know,
contorted.
I read this kind of interesting piece out there where it's... Obviously, this is like fans or super fans just digging deep and finding like stuff where there isn't any. It's like saying that Luke Skywalker, because he's so strong with the Force, subconsciously kind of knew that Vader was his father. So that reaction.
I'm just gonna stop you there.
No,
like,
just, let me
no
complete because I'm not for this point. But that's why Mark Hamill's reaction is more sadness and acceptance than whatever. I was like, no, bro, that's just Mark Hamill acting, doing the best he can, and that's the thing he can summon.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a legion of Star Wars fans that will justify anything and write the movies for writers that don't do a good job.
Yeah, it's kind of like what's happening with Game of Thrones last
no
season.
With the sequel trilogy, people are doing that more and more with the new Star Wars. Every dumb decision gets justified.
Yeah,
but anyway, whatever. Like I think like Lion King did it better in terms of father son interactions.
This is the template for good bad father son. This is the epitome. There's no one did it better.
I am your father.
Yeah,
okay,
forget.
And then Luke, then okay, so he's like, I'll never join you, I hate you. And then he does what, Vikram? He just does suicide, basically?
Just goes with it, man. He just goes. It's imagine the Force
no, no,
is
no,
a river.
No, don't BS me. I want you to articulate.
I will.
What is Luke's plan?
I will. There is no plan.
It
first.
Should not involve Force being a river.
It has to involve the Force.
No.
Firstly, Luke has no plan at that point. All right, he's
committing suicide.
He doesn't have the Sherlock meme going in his head. He's like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Nothing.
Is he committing suicide?
His hands
suicide?
Cut off.
Okay.
He just found out his arch enemy is his father.
Okay. He found out his father cut his hand off.
Maybe he hasn't even put that together.
Which is an aggressive punishment.
Yeah, it is. Force spanking would be better. And then he just falls, man. He falls. He's done. He's given up at that point in time, right? He has no like clinging to life, friends, saving this, saving that. He's destroyed. He's broken.
Okay.
And,
then
falls
it
off.
Jump cuts to him landing softly in a tunnel. What is happening? How does he survive?
Dude, that's... I mean, it's been clearly
I guess the Emperor must be alive then because the Emperor falls off. Hey, we didn't even talk about the Emperor. The Emperor makes an appearance
yep.
And that's it.
Yeah, hologram.
He's just a floating head.
Hologram, yeah.
Okay, great. So by that logic, the Emperor should still be alive. Which he might be according to the new trailers.
Yes, sir. He
so
might be.
Falls
Darth
don't
Maul
mean
is alive.
Anything.
Darth Maul is alive.
My God, dude. My God.
And wait, this fall is nothing compared to Darth Maul, and Emperor's fall is next level. Like, what? It's nothing compared to it.
He just falls hundreds of meters and lands into a hole.
And then imagine how much Darth Maul and the Emperor fall. Like, it literally looks like infinite space.
You know he should be dead. Luke should be dead.
No. I disagree completely.
Luke should be dead and you know it.
Mark Hamill might. I agree with that. Mark Hamill should be dead. Luke, no. Luke's the foundation of Star Wars, man.
Not anymore. Think about Luke's arc, bro. Survives his father cutting his hand off. Survives fighting the Emperor. And then finally gets killed by like a
converts
heart attack.
Converts his dad back to the
converts
Jedi.
His dad, redeems his father.
Yes.
And then gets killed from stress. Gets killed from...
No, force meditation.
Thinking too hard.
That, dude, I actually... I don't... People hate on this, but that was my favorite sequence from The Last Jedi. That whole situation of him force meditation.
That's how Luke dies. Also, like a
he
coward.
He doesn't die.
Okay. I mean, when Jedis die, they die. Like,
no, yeah. Jedis die or Jedis willfully convert themselves to force ghosts.
Or they Bhishma Pitama themselves. Like they choose when to die.
No, again, incorrect. Jedis die when they like fall in battle or they just die or whatever. And then Jedis convert themselves to force ghosts.
Right? I don't think they did it by choice. Like it's not like
he did it by choice to save everyone there. He finally opened. Why are we talking about Last
Jedi? Okay, we'll save it for The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
I'm actually, I'm done. Like the third act is done. We already spoke about the scene that follows this. Father. And then, can I end it with one nitpick?
Of course, Vizir. When has that stopped you?
Because we spoke about Han and Han.
Haan, theek hai, ek major point kar liya. Dal nitpick.
So they talk about going to rescue Han slash Han at the end of the Empire Strikes Back.
Right.
Because he's been frozen to Jabba the Hutt. And then Luke goes like, I'll see you in Tatooine. It's like, where did that come from?
Everybody else instead of Tatooine?
Yeah, he's like, I'll see you in Tatooine. What? Is there not a director? Is there not a script supervisor on board?
We haven't spoken to the director of this movie, which I thought was a masterstroke by Lucas.
Alan Kestner, yeah.
Direct himself, firstly.
I think that's genius, yeah, because it would have been awful. If
and
Lucas
even Irvin Kershner was his professor, former professor from college,
yeah.
who was not an A-list Hollywood director, but had enough Hollywood experience.
Yeah.
So Lucas, in his bid to like just gain independence with this movie, he went to this guy and he's like, you know Hollywood inside out, but you're not Hollywood. So I want you to direct this movie. And he literally won in his fight to make this movie independent and billionaire.
Yeah, Lucas is a beast that way. Kept all the toys rights. That's the biggest genius of it all.
I mean, that kind of comes through in episode 6 more than anything else.
Yeah, no. But even this movie, man, in the ending, like the I'm Your Father reveal, it just changed the whole saga. And this movie could have been a lot better. By The Last Jedi.
That's not an argument. You can't just say that and make it an argument.
Okay, I'll be honest. If someone's listening, I just want to let them know. I do it mostly to tilt you and it works.
It works all the time because like, you're talking about Star Wars and I know you're not that big a fan of The Last Jedi, which is what pisses me off the most.
It's a debating tactic that just works.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, you know what? I'll just end it. When I watched this movie end, like the credits roll, I was just craving for an after credits scene. Because I think that would have really tied it together. I think Star Wars needs some after credit scene.
Oh.
So.
Well, it's Disney now. Maybe they'll just add it.
They might add it, right? So my pitch on an after credit scene, this would have made the movie from a against to a four for me. Even if the coin said against.
Okay.
If they just ended it with this scene.
This movie right now isn't. Just clarify.
It's not. Yeah.
Okay.
It's just Vader in his Vader costume and Luke in his Jedi outfit playing catch. Father? Father, Luke. Father, Luke. Father.
You know, we can make that. I want to make that.
Yeah, let's make that. Let's do that.
And that wraps up this week's episode of Film Feud. Hope you guys enjoyed.
Thank you for listening. Now we feuded, and you, our listeners, get to decide who you think won. You can vote on our social media at Muncher Movies on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Or you can write in the YouTube comments at Muncher Movies on YouTube.
You can also find us wherever you guys get your podcasts, Google, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, and more.
Or on our website, munchermovies.com. Until next week.
Bye-bye.